Behold, and the Bible says, let me see, where are we going here? And oops, I won't find it in Luke chapter 1, will I? That's what I'm saying. It seemed to look so foreign there to me for a little minute there. It's verse 9, it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude, with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Well, there is a word that is actually used a little bit earlier in this historical record. And it was the word behold. The angels came to the shepherds. And we know that the night was holds a particular degree of fear. How many of you go to bed at nighttime and, you know, leave your doors unlocked or leave your car unlocked? There used to be a time when you didn't have locks, you didn't have to worry about it. But now pretty much security systems are in your home. You have locks on your doors. Some people have double locks and triple locks and whatever else. Simply because the night is just, it can be a fearful and a scary thing. Because of things that we cannot readily see, of possible dangers that lurk unaware. We remind our children when they're going out at nighttime, our young people, when they're driving, and they may be going to the mall with their brothers and sisters, that they park in well-lighted areas, that they don't park in dark, dingy areas. Keep your car, and even when people go to work. I know at the hospital, if you don't want to walk out to the parking lot and get your car, the security will take you there because of, well, nighttime is just one of those times where you just don't know what's lurking. It's the time when predators feel the most secure, while the vulnerable feel the least secure. And one can only imagine how the shepherds must have felt alone at night, perhaps a small fire lighting only a few feet about them. It sounds kind of cozy to us, but it was probably pretty cold, and they sat around that fire. And who knows what was lurking beyond in the shadows, whether there was wolves out there or there bears out there or sheep stealers, if you will. But a few feet about them, there was some light, and the sheep were resting and so on. And then out of the night skies, I mean just sunny, out of the night skies, a blinding light, a bright. Ever get that kind of a sense of guilt when things maybe aren't going right? You said something you shouldn't have said. tidings that God wants. Happy. Well, you can only be happy so long, and it depends. Happiness is based on your circumstances. Then circumstances change continually, don't they? Joy is not based on circumstances. Joy is based on a relationship. A relationship that really never changes unless it grows exponentially greater with each and every passing day, as it ought to do. But holiness brings joy. You can be happy. I want to get this right before I say it wrong. You can be holy and happy because that joy and happiness breed together out of the relationship of holiness. But happiness without holiness is always going to be an up and down situation. Here today, gone tomorrow. Here this moment, gone the next moment, because the devil knows that, and he can change our circumstances. So God wants us all to know that a heart full of joy, it is on the deeper things in our walk with the Lord. So here's the uniqueness of these tidings of joy. Great joy. days of this announcement. Every day holding new uncertainties for sure. And whether then or now, there is a desperate need for men to come to Christ, not to a religion, but to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is where we find our joy. So verse 11 says, "For unto you, he has come to bring something to you as an individual, you as a person." God could have sent his son to reform Judaism, but he did not. He explained that very easily, that you do not put new wine into old bottles and you don't sew a new piece of cloth onto an old cloth. So God sent his son so that as individuals we can come to Christ and find forgiveness of our sin and find at the foot of his cross sins forgiven and a joy unspeakable. I hear many folks say to me, "I'm of this religion," or "I'm of that religion," or I go to this church," or "I go to that church," but seldom do I hear folks say, "I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a personal walk with him." And such folks believe that naively that they have a vicarious relationship with Christ through religion, and that is never so. The Apostle Paul thought he had a relationship with God through Judaism until he accepted Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And then he knew a real relationship with God was all about. Cornelius, a Roman commander of great authority, came to understanding that the idolatrous Roman practices were empty and hollow and shallow. And even his good works and compassion were not sufficient. And Peter led him to the Lord. He nonetheless had a heart for God. He had a desire to know him on a personal basis. And unfortunately, I really do not believe a lot of Christians had this desire to know Jesus Christ on a personal basis. And so God sent an angel, a messenger, to direct him to speak out to Peter. And so Peter brings the message of Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, "For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." But he says, for unto you. And so no one could be mistaken as a very specific description of the place, a manger, a specific child wrapped in swaddling clothes. Imagine a crowd at Bethlehem. It was a time of the census, and the angel is very specific. But as a messenger, the message remains the same in verse 11. If we bring any other message to the world's never going to respond appropriately. And that message is again, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He is the only source of our great joy, regardless of our circumstances. That's the message that we have to, got to get out. And so there is seldom a better time to tell others of a personal reason for this season, even though they may not understand it. But as surely as the angel told the shepherds, we have a responsibility to tell others as well, especially as they express exasperation or display anxiety over the events of our day. You know, we ought to seize these moments when people say, "Boy, what about these migrants that are trying to crush into our country and break the laws and give them all, and complaining about now we have a Democratic-controlled House." What an opportunity to say, "You know what? I don't sweat any of that. I didn't vote for him, by the way, but I don't sweat it." You tell him, because my Lord is still on the throne. They cannot do anything that God does not permit them to do. They may experience anxiety over the difficulty of our economy. As booming as it may be, not everybody is experiencing the boom. The frustration over personal finances, the difficulties that one may be experiencing in their personal lives and their marriages, whatever folks complain about and express a degree of hopelessness. What an opportunity to talk about them. No, hope's not lost. Hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ, because he is the answer. Not just is he the reason for the season, he's the answer to all of man's troubles and all of man's problems. So what an opportunity for you and I to talk about the joy of the Lord that you have experienced in your life, maybe in your difficult times, the hope, the help that you have experienced from the Lord. Can any testimony tweak people's ears more than your walk, your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be able to quote a litany of verses, invite them to the church, but you know what? How about inviting them to the person of Jesus Christ when they come to church? They're hitting the road running. We need to speak from our own personal experiences. And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll just turn there and close. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think I may want to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, not 4. Although 4 will work, it's not what I'm looking for. It says there in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to," what? "Comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So, when you're in those circumstances that you may not like, remind yourself that I'm in here so that I can experience something that I can take to the world and tell them how great my God is. So behold, the good tidings of great joy. Is your Christian experience one of great joy? Or is it one of great misery? Because if it's about great misery, then it's because you're not yielding. You're not submissive. It's because you're rebellious. And in that state, you cannot have great joy. All you'll have is mega misery. To us who are saved, He's our consolation. He's our comforter. Amen. Amen. So,